Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at Fightful.com here with Ring of Honor's Josh Woods, right up Fightful's alley. We cover MMA and pro wrestling. We got a guy who's got a little bit of experience in both, to say the least. Josh, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I mentioned off the top of the show, you got that MMA background, and that's not all you've got. You've got this Ring of Honor, pure tourney. Did your MMA background play to your advantage in this at all? I mean, when people think pure wrestling, I think they think a certain style. This is more of a rule set, but have you had to lean on any of your experience, or is this unique to almost everything?
I definitely think having a very different arsenal helps me. I mean, it doesn't hurt me ever, you know, so I can use the rules a little bit to my advantage, you know, if I can lock in a couple of good submissions in there, the rope breaks go, you know, so then if I do throw in that last submission, there's nowhere to go. I mean, it does play a big factor in it. You know, the rules, I think, are really awesome. It really makes it a little more sporting as opposed to kind of like a free-for-all, and I enjoy it a lot, man. I'm glad that I have like the background to kind of excel a little bit in it. Whereas, you know, guys who are a little more showy and stuff may not do as well or know how to handle a little more technical wrestling.
A reminder, guys, you can check that out. Check your local listings, or you can go to Honor Club, Ring of Honor's Honor Club. They post the shows there each week. You can always catch it no matter where you are in the world. You mentioned that technical style. Considering that you come from a legitimate background, are there ever things that you see that are tough to adjust to, even if you've done them 100 times? Like for example, if somebody throws on a chin lock, doesn't block off a hip or something like that, is it like in your nature to be like, well, I'm going to turn into this and dump somebody on their head?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you know, people get how do I word this?
Bury people.
Yeah, some people just kind of like don't have like something really proper in, or they haven't secured a hold, or you know, they advance position, they advance a submission before position. You know, that's like a big jiu-jitsu thing.
Yeah.
So you know, like it's not as tight or as secure, so it gives a little wiggle room. It happens a lot more than like I'd like to admit. I mean, it happens to me too. You know, because you know we are working together, and I'm not trying to really kill anybody, but I'm also really trying to make the things I'm doing look good. So I want to make sure I'm safe.
How was that adjustment for you? Because obviously, like pro wrestling, striking is a lot different. You show your strikes, you telegraph them a little bit more. Whereas when you're training for MMA, you don't want to telegraph anything. You don't want anybody to know what's coming.
Yeah. When I first started out, I definitely was a little stiff and a little snug. I apologize for people that helped train with me, but it took a little while to kind of break the habit, you know, to make things a lot bigger and more showy. The presentation is really what makes the difference, and I had a lot of really good coaches kind of help me with that, you know, Billy Gunn, Adam Pierce, Norman Smiley. So those guys really made the difference from transitioning from like the traditional MMA and, you know, amateur wrestling background into professional wrestling.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people might not draw that comparison, but I think that Norman Smiley is actually a pretty fair comparison to you, a guy who is technically refined, can like actually go, but has a very bright, vivid personality, as we've seen on Ring of Honor TV. Like, what are some of the things that maybe that stand out that he or one of those other guys taught you that maybe made that light bulb go off?
I spent a lot of time with Norman when I was in NXT, and that was just like a blessing, man, because, you know, like you said, our styles are very similar. So kind of learning how to, you know, put things together and like transition a little more smoothly. And I think to really present what I have this vision for myself and how to present that in a way people can understand. So Norman really put a great spotlight on that when we were training. And, you know, guys like Adam are phenomenal, man. And spending a lot of time with him just really kind of helped, like, the other stuff, you know, like the more gritty things that, you know, you kind of need in your back pocket and you know, learning about the sport in general. And then, of course, you know, you got like guys like Billy Gunn, man. That's like one of the best character workers in the business. And just even being able to like sit under that learning tree, you know, you learn like from all aspects, you know, plus, you know, his tag experience and just sitting under that learning tree is unreal.
And we spoke a bit about your experience. I think it was Kurt Angle that had mentioned one time he spent so many years training to not have his shoulders on the back of the mat. It felt unusual to yeah. get in there and allow somebody to do that. How was that for you? Was that something that you had to mentally adjust to, or did it come naturally?
Well, you know, I started amateur wrestling in 2000. I think I made the transition in 2011 to starting MMA. So that was kind of difficult because, you know, jiu-jitsu and stuff, you are on your back and you kind of play on in that position specifically. And it was very weird at first. You know, it's like, oh, man, this doesn't feel right because I was actively still wrestling in college and then trying to do MMA and stuff. So sometimes, like, I would get things confused a little bit in training and whatnot. But, you know, as far as making the switch over, it was a little smoother just because I was used to it from the BJJ stuff and my mixed martial arts experience. So it wasn't too bad of a transition. But, like, of course, there are positions I think, like, man, I would never be in this position if this were, like, a real match or, like, in a cage.
And you mentioned your time in NXT. That came to an end, and you got right back out there, it seemed like. Because I remember you were doing some stuff, I think, at the Monster Factory, if I remember right. And you did some stuff with Ring of Honor shortly after that. There are so many people that when they leave the Performance Center, they never wrestle a match again. Was that ever in your head, or did you know immediately, I'm getting right back out there and doing this?
There are a couple of things going through my mind at that point, you know, and obviously the emotion of being released is never positive. It always kind of stings a little bit. You know, my first initial thought was maybe go back to MMA and stuff because, you know, that's what I really love to compete. And I spent a lot of time, you know, building a certain skill set. But the other part of me was like, man, I've been out of it for a long time. And I'm probably going to be pretty rusty. But, you know, wrestling was like really, really new and exciting to me. So I really wanted to stick with it, especially because I had devoted, you know, a very lengthy portion of my career just trying to learn a new skill set. So I didn't really want to abandon that. You know, because it's different when you're in the PC, like when, as opposed to like if you're on the indies, you know, you train maybe. This is just me speaking as from experience from hearing other people. I can't say everyone trains like this, but you know, some guys on the indies can train only once, twice a week. You know, three times is like a phenomenal, but most people don't do that. They, you know, they'll go for the one or they'll just make it to a certain point and they'll only do shows. But like, man, when you're there, you're training every day. And you know, and I think, you know, that puts, you know, someone who's been, oh, I've been wrestling for like 5 years, you know, once a week, as opposed to 2 years every day. I think that makes a big difference in skill sets.
So you found yourself in Ring of Honor, I would say, pretty quickly, within a year of leaving NXT. How did that come about? Who reached out to you? Who made that happen?
Well, I was at Danny Cage's place at Monster Factory, and LSG was there for a camp, and I got hooked up with Danny from Steve Cutler, and so, you know, I've been in contact with Danny, and I was up there, and Bob Evans was there, and he just saw me working with LSG. He's like, hey, man, you should reach out to Ring of Honor. There's a camp coming up in a month. I'll talk to them for you, and then, you know, you got to just, you know, perform at the tryout camp. So a month later, I went to the tryout camp, like on my own dime too, man. Like, I think a lot of people don't want to like pay to commit, or they think like, you know, like camps are like a scam, right? Like you kind of hear like, oh, they just want money and stuff. Like, I mean, that's not true, man. Like, I got signed because I was there, and I did really well. Brian Malonis was at the same camp as me, and he's here now. And, you know, so I think there's like something to putting yourself out there, and it'll pay off.
Were you signed, like, how far after that were you signed? How, like, did you work for a while without a deal, and then finally it was offered to you? How did that work?
So, I'm trying to remember this timeline, so give or take a month, but I think the tryout camp was in October. They came to Lakeland, which is like Lakeland, Florida, which is about 45 minutes from me, maybe like a month or two later, and I went to the show. And, you know, I helped set up Ring, and then I got a dark match, and, I didn't shit the bed. I did all right. Sorry, language, my bad.
You're good.
So yeah. And then, you know, after that, they kind of stayed in contact with me a little bit, and they're like, hey, we're going to do this top prospect tournament. We want to bring you in. And I kind of started shortly thereafter. I think like January or February was the first round. So it was relatively quick turnaround, and then I got the official contract in May of 2017.
Do you want to bury Danny Cage at all? I like doing that. He's a what? Friend. Yeah. Oh yeah. Sure. I mean, why not? Why not?
Man. I mean, I hear a lot of stuff about Danny, and you know, I've never really had a negative experience with him. You know, he's kind of like, he's very old school, man, and like I was coached in a very different way than a lot of people are now. And I think, how do I say this? I think like a lot of people are kind of soft now.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not, they're used to being coddled and babied, and Danny doesn't really do that.
That is not Danny Cage.
Yeah. And some people just can't deal with that, man. Like when I was at the PC, and DeMott is an old school guy. And I loved how Bill was coaching, and I learned a lot from him while I was there with him. And I think, people just kind of got toughened up a little bit.
What did you think about the transition from DeMott to Bloom? Because you were there then, right?
Yep.
Because I remember I was actually in Columbus that weekend when they made the change, because NXT was doing a bunch of shows there for the Arnold Sports Festival, and they had to like abruptly make the change, like maybe 12 hours before, I think it was public tryouts that they did there, like as a show, but. You were there through that transition.
I mean, you know, for me, like it was a little weird because I just learned, like I just started wrestling, you know, so like DeMott was my coach. So there's kind of that bond between athlete and coach. And of course, like Matt was a coach there as well. But, you know, I spent more time with Bill when I first started than I did with Matt. You know, Matt's a great coach, man. He's a really personable guy. I mean, I can't say enough good things about him. He's in an amazing role right now, and it's obviously thriving. It's working. So, I mean, the transition wasn't really bad, man. I just, you know, oh, mom left, now here's dad. You know, it's just you're getting something else, and it's still equally as good.
Do you still regularly train MMA, or are you more focused on pro wrestling because that's where your bread is buttered now?
So I spent a lot more time during quarantine, like, you know, when we had this hiatus, doing a little bit more MMA stuff because that was just what was available to me. I like to train, man. I like to kind of keep everything fresh and learn new things, and I'll roll around with some of my buddies that have fights coming up and work with those guys. But I think like actively competing, I'm probably not going to ever do that again.
So this might sound ridiculous to you, but I've always wondered, when you're at the PC or you're in Ring of Honor, there are other people with real wrestling experience, real MMA experience. I know you worked, I think it was the now known as Rezar from Authors of Pain. And I mean, he was a legit MMA prospect when he just said, you know what? I think I'll try pro wrestling. Like, is that something that you would ever do there? Would you ever try to get in some MMA training? This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
El app del clima dice que va a llover. El app de McDonald's que toca McDelivery. Ordena McDelivery en el app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Training with any of those guys, because I know Seth Petruzzelli, who you know really well, was there teaching people too.
Yeah, Seth's my boy. I love Seth. Yeah, Seth's like one of my best friends, man. And it's kind of weird, man. Like, I know the schedule is so different now at the PC than when I was there. But you know, some guys like don't want to train anymore. Like we were there for so long in the day. You know, sure. You want to go home and relax and stuff. And you know, we have opportunities to kind of roll around in the ring and stuff. And like I got to roll with guys like Tucker Knight and like Gable and JJ and I didn't get to roll with Rezar at all. Just he just never really did it. But yeah, he's a big cat.
He's very
a
big.
So yeah, man, we all kind of goof around. All the shooters kind of gravitate towards each other and. You know, we kind of goof and like, oh, who would win between da da da? It's like, I don't know, man. And so that always happens.
I just love the thought of that. Just love the idea of that. Because, I mean, you watch guys like yourself or Gable or anybody like that just chain wrestle, and you're like, yeah, you can tell how much training went into that. You can tell how so much of that is second nature and things that you knew before you even got here that lended to the experience that you have now. And the experience that you have now is being in Ring of Honor for, gosh, I think 3.5 years, right?
Yeah.
How has Ring of Honor changed in your time there since you walked in that door?
Oof. That's a good one. Very good one. I mean, a big thing is the locker room, man. The locker room, I feel, has gotten a little stronger as far as more camaraderie and people kind of looking out for each other. Prior to, you know, the past maybe 7-8 months, there's a kind of a lot of guys kind of clicking up, and it was very segregated. You know, there's these guys over here, those guys over there, everybody else over here. But I think just as of late, it's been really awesome. Having like the bond that we all have. Office has always been, you know, they're the office man, you know, like a bit. They're always, you know, doing the stuff that they need to do, and they're pretty good about keeping in touch with us with what we need. And so like that hasn't really changed. It's always been pretty fluid for the most part. But you know, you gotta take the good with the bad, right?
So one of the things that I've talked on the record with probably 4 or 5 ROH wrestlers about, it's something that I've at least reported on it several times. Ring of Honor brought like all of you in for a meeting and said, what do you want us to do? How can we improve? What did that say to you as a performer in Ring of Honor that they were willing to do that?
Oh yeah, we did. We did that about a year ago, maybe, I think. I think stuff like that is pretty important, you know, 'cause if you have the same kind of brain running the operation, right? If you're constantly doing the same thing and you're getting like minimal or the same results, we have to mix things up. And you know, we have a very large collective group of individuals who have ideas and who have been in the business for a long time or just come from other places and they like experience from there. So being able to kind of, you know, have a free form to say, hey, you know, what about this? We ended up putting like, they wrote it on the wall. I think it was over like 75, almost 100, like things that just ideas or things that could be improved upon or just ideas in general. And it was pretty cool to have like kind of even footing with the office guys and just be able to speak freely and kind of just voice our opinions.
And I heard that like the majority of those things were implemented, or at least the wheels were in motion to implement those things.
Yeah, there were a lot of things that were said that, you know, we started to notice almost immediately. And you know, obviously COVID, you know, kind of threw a lot of things off track, but I think we were about to do something like really incredible and very, very new to put us on the forefront of wrestling, and hopefully things go back to normal and that's still going to happen.
Another interesting to me topic that was kind of polarizing. I don't know if it came out of that meeting, but I remember last year I had Ring of Honor wrestlers. Some of them loved it. Some of it hated it when they switched to the white ring mat. Where are your stances on white ring mats?
Yeah, it's like a weird, it's like a light gray. It's like, oh man, I like the classic, the black and red. I think that's really cool. I know I hate to like even like say it's like NXT and like WWE have, you know, different things for different events, and I think that's cool to kind of mix things up a little bit. It makes the presentation stand out a little bit. So maybe on like special events, or you know, we would have a different color ring, you know, because there's so much black in the ropes and the everything else, and
buckles, like barricades, floor mats, it's all black.
Yeah, you know, so having like the difference would be, I think it just adds to the quality of the show. But you know, I don't know, like if you guys have noticed the production value with just the pure stuff alone.
Yeah.
Like things have been, they look incredible. You know, so it's just a matter of time before like some like things get changed like that. I think if we could go back to maybe a more classic look here and there, just adds a little more prestige to certain events. You know, like Final Battle coming up, man. If we had, you know, just an old school Ring of Honor canvas for that would be so sweet, and I think it could probably just bring a little bit more life to it.
Yeah, and I mean most wrestlers these days are working in black ring gear too. So I mean that I think that the contrast is kind of nice, and the revamp from even the production, my God, it looks so much better for the Pure tournament. Like different angles, everything looked smoother. You could tell there was a concentrated effort there.
Yeah, I mean, the production does a great job, man. I mean, you know, if you talk to any of the boys that are, you know, the talent guys specifically, like, oh, man, we had such a long day. But no, we really did, you know, man. Like, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours, it's really not that bad. But you know, the production guys, then they're there like, you know, 10, 12, 14 hours, man. Those guys are killing it. And just to make sure we have, you know, the right lighting, music, and everything, those guys are slaying it. And it shows, man, like, everything looks great.
So this far, we've not got to see you team with Silas since the reboot, obviously, for obvious reasons. Do you see that continuing? Two guys, one tag.
Two guys, one tag forever, dude. yeah, man. You know, the Pure thing was, you know, happened, and we're doing some taping and stuff now as we speak. So I don't think there's any plans for us to not be a team together.
Nice.
I know Silas loves me too much to leave, so it's Silas and Joshy all day, baby.
Every time I interview him, we play manly or not manly, and I give him probably about 10 topics, and he tells me whether or not they're manly. I desperately need to do a new one with him, because I think there's a lot of things in this pandemic world that he could kind of chime in on.
Yeah, Silas is definitely epitomizes the manly persona, that's for sure.
So before we went on the air, you mentioned you're going to play some PlayStation. You're in the bubble right now. What are you playing?
I brought the PlayStation. You know, all my boys play Call of Duty, you know, so I'm like, yeah, man, I'll get to just play with the boys, you know, while I'm not doing anything. But the Wi-Fi here is so terrible, I can't even connect, so I can't even play live. But,
that's why Ring of Honor told me we couldn't do Zoom, is because of the Wi-Fi being so bad.
Dude, it's so bad, man. Like, I'm sitting by the window right now just to make sure this phone call doesn't drop. I'm playing Ghost of Tsushima right now. But that's pretty dope. I'm a big, like, God of War style play, and it's not bad. It's comparable. So when the PS5 drops, I'm going to be crushing that.
So were you much, or are you much, into wrestling or MMA games? I know a lot of people that, like, when they reach the heights, they're like, once they're out of the ring, they're like, you know what, I'm not going to bother playing that right now. I get enough of that when I'm in the ring. But were you growing up?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. I didn't really play too many. I can't even think. I know I had like one or two games growing up, but I was never really kind of big into sports games. There's someone on this. I mean, granted, like Call of Duty is the same thing every year, but like the live play is different, man. Like when you're playing against someone live, it's very different because, you know, the game map might be the same, but everybody's going to react different, or, you know, so that's like what keeps it interesting. I'm not a big fan of the sports games because as they evolve, they try to do so much stuff with them. And it's like, man, I just want to punch and kick. I don't want to have to input like 38 buttons to do something. Like, I'm a big Tekken fan, dude. Like, I love Tekken. They're always, dude. When they had Tekken Tag and then the bowling part, it was so fun. I love Tekken.
My wife cheats and picks like Eddie Gordo and just button mashes, though.
Oh, God, dude. Trash.
Not fair. It's not fair. And when I play UFC games, I play stand and bang mode. As much as I came from a catch wrestling background, I love grappling. But when I'm playing that video game, I want to punch somebody in the head. I want to kick them in the face.
Yeah, man. Yep, you want to get that knockout.
Yeah, so I really dig that. So as
Who's your favorite fighter?
My favorite fight? I don't know if I have a favorite fighter, so to speak. Because I cover it, I feel like I'd be biased in that sense.
So someone from the past and someone current.
Well, someone from the past, I can tell you that every single time Anderson Silva fought, even if I had been out of the gym for 2 months, I was like, I would watch him kill somebody and I'd be like, I'm going to train tomorrow. Immediately.
Hey, Anderson Silva's a beast. He is a beast.
And like today, I actually love watching Curtis Blaydes fight because I love his style of wrestling. Like, he just mauls people. So I like that. And it's hard to not like watching Francis Ngannou fight, especially since he had that little skid and he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to throwing my fist at people's faces and they're not going to stay awake as a result. It's like, yeah. He was like, you know, we're not going to worry about that second or third round thing. That's not going to happen. So I'm partial to watching them.
All right. I see you.
Who you got? Who are your favorites to watch?
Man, dude, back when like Pride and stuff was like really gnarly, dude. Krokop, man. Mirko Krokop is the man. I used to love watching him just head kick fools in the face.
That's what got me into MMA. So I was a pro wrestling fan most of my life, and my cousin showed me, it was a DirecTV Pride pay-per-view, and it was a compilation. And on that compilation, I see Krokop head kicking people, and I'm like, wait, this guy in MMA has a finishing move? Like, he does a finishing move and just destroys people with it? And on that same thing was, like, Randleman dumping Fedor on his head and Rampage power-bombing and body-slamming everybody. And I was like, oh, so this stuff actually works. I'm going to get into this. I mean, Pride. I mean, it's hard to.
Pride, dude. Whew. And Takanori Gomi, too, man. I used to like watching him a lot, too.
Yeah. I was a Genki Sudo fan back in the day, too. Like, him him running across and drop kicking people like Butterbean. I was like, that's the guy that knocked out Bart Gunn, and he just got drop kicked by a 145-pound guy. I was all on board.
I love it, man. I don't really watch a lot of it now, just because, like, either we'll be, like, on shows or I just, you know, I don't order it. So I think Cody Garbrandt's pretty good. I like watching him. He's not bad.
I'll tell you, nothing will make you a casual MMA fan quicker than covering MMA and sitting through like those 7-hour events. Like, everybody talks about WrestleMania being 7 hours and it being too long. That's every Saturday for the UFC. Every Saturday, it's 7 hours.
Yeah, I think like I stopped watching because it's so saturated now. There's something like all the time, so it kind of took the pizzazz out of it, I guess.
Sure, yeah. So Ring of Honor, pure tournament. I encourage everybody, check that out. Josh, as we wrap up, tell the people where they can follow you on social media.
Oh, hey, yeah. If you guys want to say what's up, Twitter and Instagram is Woods is the Good. So, fantastic. Hey, say what's up, drop a line. I'm all ears.
Do not add him on PlayStation Network. His Wi-Fi is too bad right now.
Right now, yeah, don't do that.
But guys, leave a thumbs up, subscribe, check out Ring of Honor. They're on Honor Club, and check your local listings. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Bye.
Awesome.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.